There we go. Good morning. Good to see you. Thanks for taking time to come out and be a part of our worship time this morning. All right. Well, it's good to be here with you. We are excited. We sent out some emails this week and note on the sign and the four pastors. All four pastors are going to preach. You ain't getting out of here till 3 o'clock. Well, we're going to speak anyhow. But we're very excited. Some time ago, it's been months ago now, Charles, Calvary came to the decision that you guys are ready to consider becoming one church, right? So we've been praying about that. The Crossroads folks have done that. And the big announcement is, the happy announcement we're real excited about is, we're going to do it. So we're really happy, excited about that. We're going to be saying a few things about that throughout our service. So, God, thank you that you are God, and we're not. You see things that we can't see. You know things that we'll never know. You see a bigger picture than our minds can comprehend. And in a very real way, these two churches, Calvary and Crossroads, have seen that and are experiencing that. And from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, we just want to say thank you. We bless you, God. We praise you. And now, God, we give you this time to turn our attention and our hearts to you, to worship you, to thank you, to realize again how blessed we are by you. Use this time, Father, that you may be glorified and we may be spoken to, touched, and blessed in a way that causes us to once again look at ourselves and our lives and see where we need to shore up our walk with you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Try to imitate Jason. Good to be back. You know, have a voice, Jason, I'll tell you. Was without a voice, and so I'm going to do the little PA thing. Is that okay? Batting leadoff today from a scrawny kid from Hillsdale, Michigan, John Peters. Batting second from Lexington, North Carolina, Jason Ridge. Batting third from Baltimore, Maryland, playing center field, Kevin Bennett. Batting cleanup, that's fourth. And from James Island, South Carolina, Pastor Charles Weeks. Yes, there you have it. Now you can start the clock, Wally. You know, I told Kevin with my voice, I don't know if I can get 27 minutes in. Is that what he said, 27? Seven. Oh, it was seven. Hang on. Pull some stuff out of there. Real quick then, talk about the word new. New. In the Bible, over 280 times. The word new, as we think about a brand new church. We see around us a new pier out at Folly Beach. We see the new Top Golf. I don't know how many people care about that, but I do. New grocery stores, new gas stations, and all we've all been praying for, a new Mexican restaurant. Yes. New life and a new church. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, the New King James says it like this, "Behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The New Living Translation says it like this. Think of all the miracles that God had done. Forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? And in the Message, love the Message paraphrase, forget what's happened. Don't keep going over that old history. Be alert and be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? I was talking with some of the children and some of our teenagers. They don't know that there was a bridge across the river to Mount Pleasant before the new bridge. You know, they don't know. And we got a couple pictures we'll throw up here. The first one was called the Grace. Now, Charles, did you work on these bridges? It was a new bridge. This was the Grace Bridge. Look at that. Two lanes. How many drove on that bridge? How many were scared when you drove on that bridge? That's 100%. That was built back in the, it started in 28 and finished in 1929 for the cost of $6 million. I don't know why I thought of this before, but I want you to think about our churches and these bridges, okay? Get ready. Then the Pierman, did I say it right? Pierman Bridge. Finished in April of 1966. Has three lanes. You can't really see it, but you do not want to go where the red X is. You will, yeah, you'll stay on that bridge probably. So that bridge was built, and now they're both side by side. Now think about this. Calvary, Crossroads, side by side, working together, bringing folks together. And then, starting in July of 2001, finished in July of 2005, actually a year early, there it is, the Ravenel Bridge. Now, for you young people here that never saw those other two bridges, you've seen something new here today. This thing was built and finished in a year early, $150 million under budget. That's a miracle right there. That's a miracle. Now, here's what I like, Charles. There's a rivalry between our bridge and Savannah and Brunswick down in Georgia, right? Did you know this? They have bridges very similar. Our bridge is 1 foot taller. There you go. Very important. Two bridges that went into, they're gone now, and a new bridge rose up. That's what's happening right here. Calvary Crossroads will no longer exist. We have memories. We have great memories. God has used it. There will be a brand new church. And this one has eight lanes, right? You can't ride. You can ride a bike across there. You can walk. Matter of fact, the walkway and the bike way that's on there really was inspired, get this, by a fifth grade class. They got involved and did a petition or what a petition and said, we really would like that. And now you have all of that on that new bridge. Kevin, you'll like this. The bridge was built as a design build project, design slash build. That means one contract was signed to both design and construct the bridge. This meant that construction could begin even while the design was not yet finalized. Think about that. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what this new church is going to. They didn't really know what the new bridge was going to finally look like, but they started. And that's what we're doing. We're starting. Close it out. The word new. Now is the time. Letter N. E. It's time for everyone to invite one. We had little cards that we'd pass out. I think when we get our new name, new church, new logo, all that, everybody passing those cards out, inviting people to a new, brand new church. You know, it used to be they'd say, young people like new things. But then after a week, guess what? They're not new. They want brand new. New. And then finally, N, now's the time. E, everyone invite one. W, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to reach people for Christ, we need to be willing to do it. All right? Speaking of that, somebody who loves to sing, not necessarily get up and speak, he's going to do whatever it takes. Jason, come on up, man. Batting second.
John lost his voice last week. Becca had a great week. Like all you guys, God has taken me to some mountaintop times in my life, through some valleys as well. I remember starting Crossroads, Dick Hughes, thank you very much, starting at the Mason's Lodge. First couple years we had Easter at the park, at the county park, then Easter in the backyard. And when COVID hit, we had nowhere to meet because the school closed. But I continue to believe that God wasn't done with us yet. 2.5 years ago, Crossroads and Calvary started sharing a building for the worship service. And I saw God's hand at work. How I see God's hand at work is how quick our two congregations became like family. Now they're inseparable. I think we'd be in bad shape if we decided not to join. You know, for the past 9 months, Charles, John, Kevin, and I have been prayerfully working out how it might look to begin a brand new church. That was God's hand again. And now Calvary and Crossroads will become a new church with people, a place, and a purpose to worship, to serve God and reach people for Jesus. And I am privileged to be one of the pastors whose job it is to lead us all in worship. It reminds me of the song we do, My Testimony. It's my favorite song today. Tomorrow I'll have a new favorite song, just like Kevin says. It says, if I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe our best days are up ahead of me. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be your worship pastor.
I didn't know John and Jason could speak so well. Charles, we might get some weekends off. Or maybe they'll let us lead the singing, right? No, I heard that. I heard that. Wah. The true story is told of a man named Arthur whose friend, Walter, had a business deal for him. So Walter took Arthur for a ride out in the country, the way out in the country. They went off the main road. They drove through groves of trees to a large, uninhabited expanse of land. There were a few horses, some shacks that had been closed down for no one knows how long. It was there that Walter stopped the car, got out, and started to describe with great vividness the wonderful things he was going to build on that plot of land. And he wanted his friend Arthur to buy some of the surrounding land and get in on the project at the ground floor. But Arthur thought to himself, who in the world is going to drive this far out from town? The logistics and the venture, he thought, were simply staggering. And so Walter told Arthur that he could handle the main project. He wanted Walter to do the surrounding project, put some money into it. But Walter just couldn't convince Arthur to participate. And finally, Art Linkletter told Walt Disney he wasn't interested. Somebody went home crying a few decades later. Walt Disney saw the big picture. He had an ability to imagine something bigger than himself that no one else could make sense of at that time. And so some people, like Art Linkletter, just got bypassed in the process. Have you ever missed out on something? Don't we call that FOMO, fear of missing out? Sometimes we have a fear of missing out on something that's important, something that's big or large or huge, and we don't want to miss that. That's kind of like what's happening now with Calvary Church and Crossroads Church. Something big is happening, and I don't want to miss out. I don't think you want to miss out either. Decca was one of the biggest names in the record industry. And in January of 1962, a group of aspiring musicians from Liverpool auditioned, but Decca wasn't impressed. That group was the Beatles. Decca lost millions of dollars, while a little-known company who had a no-name brand, EMI, said, sure, we'll take you, and they got rich because they were able to see the bigger picture while Decca said no. The Harry Potter franchise is worth, what do you think the Harry Potter franchise is worth like today? $15 billion. And yet when J.K. Rowling had all sorts of trouble getting her things published, the first agent she approached said no immediately. The second one took it on but passed it around. Finally, 12 publishers turned her down. But Bloomsbury Publications finally decided to take a gamble. It was the best decision that company ever made. There's a verse in the Bible, Jeremiah 33:3, that says, "Call out to me." This is God speaking. He says, "Call out to me, and I will tell you great things, hidden things, of which you are unaware." When COVID shut down Crossroads and Calvary churches, both churches were calling out to God. God, what do we do? God, how are we going to continue? The school closed on Crossroads, and they wouldn't let churches in any longer, and I understand that. I would do the same thing if I were them. I get it. But it left Crossroads out with people to have church and nowhere to have church. I'm not quite sure I remember all the details of how it worked out, but Charles and Irene contacted Libby and I and said, "Hey, how would you like to go out and eat?" Yeah, of course. Who doesn't like to go out and eat in Charleston? So we went to Gilligan's. Is that where we went to Gilligan's the first time? And that's why I learned, that's where I learned why Charles looks like he does and I look like I do. I'm ordering double shrimp, 2 baked potatoes. He gets salad. Salad at Gilligan's. And there we began to talk about a church who wanted more people and a church who had people but no building. And as has already been mentioned, we've been meeting together for 2.5 years now. Calvary and Crossroads called out to God, and God started showing us things of which we were unaware. Like worshiping together, we like sharing in ministries together, we have small groups together, women's Bible study together, Operation Christmas Child together, food bank together, providing school supplies for students on James Island together, women's retreat together, coming up soon again. And God says, "I have even more in store for you that you don't even have the ability to imagine." We do believe God has many more great things, hidden things of which we're unaware, and He knows He will show us those things. He'll do it in and through a new church. Now, please understand, when we talk about dissolving each church and building a new church, it doesn't mean either of those churches are bad. It's not like we're just trying to sweep their ministry of decades and decades and decades under the rug. That's not it at all. We would be foolish to just throw away the history of our churches and pretend they didn't exist. But we believe God now says, now it's time to do a new thing. And now He's beginning to make us aware of some of it. And we couldn't be more excited. All right, to be quite honest, I'm also a little nervous. That's going to be a lot of work. We're going to have fun at it, but that's going to be a lot of work. Mental work, physical work, spiritual work, working together. But I believe that God will see it through. God says, "Call out to me." We need you to continue to call out to God over and over, passionately, with energy, from the depth of your soul. Call out to God. That's not the pastor's job. It's our job as Christians, not pastors. It's everybody's job as Christians. Call out to God. So He will answer us. So He will tell us of the great things. That without Him revealing those things to us, we would forever be unaware. Both of our churches have waited a while for this. We've waited a minute, right? And now God has guided us to this new church. Are you ready to see what God has waiting for us? What God is hiding to spring out something new, another great blessing, another great challenge? I hope so. And I pray so.
Years ago, when Ari and I came to this church, I told Calvary, keep two things in mind. One, this is not my building. It never was. And I told them, you're not my flock. It's God's building, and it's God's flock. And I wouldn't have it any other way. But what would a church look like today if Kevin and I and Jason and John had the attitude, this is my church, my ministry, my people, no one's going to get involved, right? What would our churches look like today if we had that same mentality? Well, Crossroads would still be without a building. Calvary would still be without fellowship and encouragement. First Corinthians 12:24 says this. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts which lacks it, that there should be no schism or no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And get this, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And all the members rejoice with it. You know, as I look around this room, I'm thrilled to see that God's people have a building that they can come to meet and encourage one another. And we will continue doing so under the name, under one name, and as one body. And my hope and my prayer for all of us, the unity that holds us together is our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what holds, that's the good holds us together, is that. I'm hoping my prayer is as we ask God to fill us with His Spirit every day, we go out there, we told the town of James Island, there's a place you can come and find Jesus. There's a place you can come and grow and walk with Him. And we ourselves continue to grow spiritually and physically. When I brought the message to Calvary about the idea of coming together, we knew it was going to work. And when Kevin came to you guys and told you what was going to happen, I don't know the hearts of everybody here. But in case maybe some of you may have been struggling with, is this a good idea? Because this is not how we've done church for a long time. It's always been about us. And when you've been doing something for so long, we tend to say this is how things should be. And even sometimes the devil can put temptations in our minds and our hearts to think things we shouldn't. And I can tell you for a while, I knew this was a good idea. But then I realized there's a reality that we have a devil. And I was telling Irene this week, he's been hitting me so hard. Between the pride of knowing I could not do this on my own continually, I couldn't. Not working a full-time job, not trying to raise a family and pastor a church. For one person, it's way too much. But Satan hit me a lot of pride still this week. He said, it's yours. What are you doing? You can work with other people. This is all yours. And every time I kept crying out to God, Lord, this is your ministry. It's not mine. And I hated myself for the fact that I was thinking the things I was thinking. And I told Irene, I'm like, something's wrong with me. This is God's church. It was never mine in the first place. And let me just say, I'm glad to see again, all of us are together. And the church is bigger. We have more encouragement. If you're here today, maybe you may be struggling with, this isn't a good idea, I want to challenge you to think again. As Kevin always says it best, learning to let go and let God. And every time I cried out for God, help me with my sinful pride, that spirit of peace kept coming right in. He's got it. He's got it. He's in control. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's God's church. It's God's house. And I'm excited about the ministries that are coming up. Ari and I, we even have some ideas of how we want to structure some ministries here within the church to help families, to help parents, and to help marriages even thrive in their walk with Jesus Christ. Because if the home is strong in Christ, the church can be strong. And so that's all I want to say. I'm so blessed to have you guys here and look forward to what God is going to do. God bless you.
Well, just a few words from a few folks who are excited about what's going on. And my understanding is you're kind of excited too. So we need to pray. We need to pray about all this. We have legal things that have to be taken care of. Yes, we're going to have a new church name. Everybody wants to give me their church name. I think it just should be called the Church of Charles and Kevin. No, just, just kidding. I'm not sure we'd get much of an offering, Charles, on that one. But I will say this, in all seriousness, if you have some ideas about church names, feel free to put them on the Connect card. We'll throw them in the list and see where God leads us on that. But we want to have a time of response. How can we come to a church service like this to celebrate what God is doing among two churches that now will become a new church, figuring out how we're going to do church and how we're going to reach lost people and help believers grow and disciple them in ministry and missions? It's just exciting. We can't end a service like this when you had four good-looking guys preaching, teaching, sharing from our hearts. So we're going to give you a chance to respond. And as always, you may just want to be where you are. You can pray, you can sing, you can meditate. Maybe you want to get up and come down and talk with me or Charles or Janine. You want to have communion today? That would be a great way to continue to celebrate and worship God. Communion stations are around the church. If you want to come over to the cross and write a praise or a prayer request, you can do that and fold those papers and just put them on the cross. However you want to respond, we want you to do that. At the very least, we want you to be praying about what God has done, is doing, and will do. Call to God. Let him show you things you've never seen nor imagined before. Let's pray together. God, thank you for our worship time today, for letting us be a part of something very exciting. A little scary. We don't know the details yet, but Lord, we are stepping out in faith. Just as you told us to, we're stepping out in faith and saying, God, we'll follow you. Just show us the way. May you bless our church and use our church to continue to do the work you've called us to do. Now, Lord, during our response time, bless it, use it for your glory, for our growth. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we thank that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the people that you have brought together. Lord, as we look at the challenge before us, may we step in wholeheartedly, all in for you. Whatever it takes, Lord, help us to just step out in faith and on grace to live for you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you for what you're going to do in our hearts, our lives, and our church. We thank you again, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.